Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And with me, Alistair Beckett King.
Wait a minute.
Just mixing it up.
You're making it sound like this is one we pre-recorded separately.
We would never do that.
We did a couple of times, but no one ever knows.
But this was a real one, wasn't it?
27.
Get on with it, Jack. Don't confuse me and the listener.
Have a listen to The Spitting Ghost of Haddon Hall.
Oh, you're opening with the spitting.
A little bit of spoiler. Alistair, I've got another tale for you from Tales and Traditions of the High Peak by William Wood.
By the Willie Woods?
Yes, Willie Woods. Actually, to be honest, it's more inspired by it because I saw a little bit of poetical writing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the place he was referring to also has a bunch of ghost stories.
Oh, very nice.
And the place he was referring to was Haddon Hall.
So is that in the Peak District?
This particular Haddon Hall that I'm referring to is in Bakewell, yes. I'm not referring to the Haddon Hall in Beckenham, where David Bowie wrote Hunky Dory, sadly now demolished.
You must have been a little disappointed when you found out those were different Haddon Halls.
Yes, I was a little disappointed. But I had a look at loads of pictures of Bowie in this house, and that buoyed my spirits again.
Oh, good. Oh, that's nice.
Mm.
In the Northeast, Haddon means hold on.
Haddon.
Like wait, like Haddon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hold on. If someone's getting ahead of you, you might say, hold on,
hold
on.
Okay. Not like hold on to your hats or hold on to your butts.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that, yeah. I don't know if you would say that, but you could.
If Jurassic Park had hired a Geordie instead of Samuel L. Jackson. Hold on to your butts. That was Geordie Samuel L. Jackson there. New character for the podcast.
There's so much distance in Geordie Samuel L. Jackson. Hey, give us one wallet.
I'm not getting on no plane with no snakes or something. I haven't seen.
Hold on, that's Mr. T.
No, snakes on a plane.
I know it's snakes on a plane, but I'm pretty certain I'm not getting on a plane is Mr. I don't think he's definitely on the plane.
Oh, he's already on the plane. Yeah, he wasn't told there were snakes on the plane beforehand. That's why he's so annoyed.
The whole film falls apart, James, if they know in advance that there's snakes on the plane.
There will be some snakes on this plane.
We're experiencing some snakes.
What does he say then? I know he did a big swear and we're avoiding the swears.
I think he says, I'm sick of these flipping snakes on this blooming plane, I think is the line.
Divin' want any more snakes on this plane. Is that offensive to Geordies and Samuel L. Jackson?
If I see one more snake. It's deeply offensive to Samuel L. Jackson, but I don't think it's offensive to Geordies. It's complimentary to Geordies.
AK-47, when that absolutely has to kill every fella in the room. I need a radio-friendly Geordie equivalent to Melon Farmer. But no, none of that.
No, not that. Okay.
None of that. Haddon Hall is near the river. Why? Because that's the bank it's next to. Do you want to hear the bit that inspired me to look it up?
If you can face reading a little bit of poetry.
As you and regular listeners will know, I'm not a fan of poetry.
Mm.
I'm going to undermine it slightly. But this is quite good. It's not a poem. It doesn't rhyme and stuff.
Right, okay.
It's just like quite nice writing, which I think is the happy medium between poem and story. So I'm going to read it in style of David Bowie. And as regular listeners and yourself will know, that is in the style of Harry H. Corbett playing David Bowie in an ill-fated biopic that was sadly never made. I'll just get us into it. So it talks about Bakewell's greatest gem being the fine old baronial mansion Haddon Hall, which is where the Duke of Rutland lived. And he kept 140 servants there in 1862. This noble family left Haddon Hall for Belvoir Castle about 150 years ago, and now the council board, where the mighty chieftain sat, is deserted. The minstrel's song, the merry laugh, the shouts of mirth and revelry no more are heard. Silence now pervades this once joyous place. All is hushed as the broken minstrel, silent as the grave. Time, the ever-rolling stream of time, washes all away before it. The cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, eventually perish before its overwhelming flood. Look here, proud, arrogant man. Read in this fast-perishing mansion the transitory duration of earthly stability.
Wow. Mm.
Pretty powerful stuff, right?
And Harry H. Corbett said that.
Yeah. I think William Wood actually wrote that himself.
Good for him. Well done. I mean, sounds patronising, but well done him.
In case you, like me, stop listening when poems happen, Haddon Hall became deserted because the family moved to another fancy house. And it's kind of says, like, this once, like, beautiful place where there was massive parties and stuff, like, everything fades and decays over time. And Haddon Hall was abandoned in the 17th century. It was restored in the 1920s, which is where a little bit of the metaphor falls down, I think. And now it's like a, you can go visit it. It's very good. It was in the Princess Bride.
Oh.
It was Prince Humperdinck's castle.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that was Haddon Hall. Because it's very unique because between the 1600s and 1920, it had no modernizations or anything. So whilst it did fall into disrepair, it was also weirdly preserved because it wasn't fixed as it went along.
Because nobody put in telephones.
Yes.
Motor cars.
Central heating, things like that.
Oh, no. We won't have any of that sort of thing.
But yeah, it's Prince Humperdinck's castle, the Great Hall's Prince Humperdinck's bedroom. I mean, you might know it from the 1892 opera.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's been ringing a bell. Yeah.
It's about the true story of the 16th century Dorothy Vernon, who is the very attractive daughter of Sir George Vernon.
How attractive was Sir George Vernon, do we know?
I think it was standard attractivity.
Right, not especially attractive.
History doesn't record. And she eloped to be with her love, John Manners, who...
I believe he was a cyborg of some kind?
No, they were welcomed back into the family in the end.
Oh, okay. Probably not her.
So. No, he was played by... Well, I don't need to tell you. In the opera, he was played by Curtis Pounds.
Curtis Pounds?
Curtis Pounds, yes. An actor and singer who was, fun fact, in the Oily Cart Opera Company, which is Gilbert and Sullivan's opera company. So he was in like the first runs of all the Gilbert and Sullivan ones.
Mm, that is a claim to fame.
Quite the claim to fame, yeah.
I've seen one light opera time, and it was a light opera version of The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh.
And not great.
I think I've been in The Pirates of Penzance and The Mikado. One was more racist than the other.
You can't be racist against pirates, James.
I think the reason we're here is ghosts, right? You want to know about the ghosts.
I would prefer to hear about the ghosts.
You're in luck because... Unsurprisingly, in the book Haunted Places of Derbyshire by Jill Armitage, we got some ghosts. Jill, I think it's safe to say, by the way, the author of this book, Jill, is not a skeptic.
No?
This is the opening broadside of the Haddon Hall section. The paranormal activity of Haddon Hall is neither well documented nor encouraged, yet there is definitely something that even the skeptics can't fail to notice.
Ooh. And so when she says it's not encouraged, she means the people in charge of it are discouraging the ghosts?
I guess so.
Or then at least not encouraging the ghosts.
What's the opposite of a Ouija board?
Well, Ouija is yes in German and French, so it would be a non-nine board.
Yeah. Yes, a non-nine board would be the...
The non-nine board.
The opposite. It would be the quite literal opposite of a Ouija board. And is it just no? Just what? Just one? A planchette and a board just has the word no. Not for me, thanks.
I suppose it would be for the ghosts to contact you. And when the ghosts say, are you there? You have to be like, no.
Leave a message. This is the first bit of ghostly sighting that she reports. One visitor witnessed a spectral cook in the kitchen beating a young kitchen lad.
So I need to know, sorry to stop you so soon.
No, go ahead.
In your testimony, James, but was the young kitchen lad also a ghost, or was it that a living, breathing, hot-blooded child being beaten by a ghost?
What we can say here, that is not well documented. That's one of the not well documented bits.
I can only assume that child was discouraging a ghost.
Yeah.
And the ghost got angry and started to beat it.
I suppose you would discourage the ghosts if they were beating your children.
Yeah. I wouldn't encourage a ghost to beat a child.
No. Oh, gosh, no. Another visitor said that their 12-year-old grandson, who'd accompanied them on a visit, felt so oppressed by presences, he simply couldn't walk through the long gallery.
I've got like that on various shopping trips with my parents as a kid.
I'm so oppressed by the presences, I can't try on any more shoes, mother.
I used to get really oppressed at the Metro Centre.
Even though presumably there was the promise of rides.
At Metroland, yes. Well remembered.
I did my own deep dive into it the other day, the Metroland. It was the biggest theme park that was inside in Europe.
You don't have to tell me.
Someone has to tell the listener.
You can be shepherded there by the Metro Gnomes. I mean, we've covered this before, but it was a wonderful place.
Yeah. And now I think it's a Voo cinema and maybe a Quasar Laser.
A Voo.
Members of staff have frequently heard footsteps in various places in the empty hall, and the head steward experienced a presence while she was locking up. Classic presence. Classic presence.
I thought you said it wasn't well documented, James.
It's all down here.
But even I, a sceptic, I'm forced to admit that something's going on.
Well, you can't fail to notice this.
I have not failed to. I've noticed it.
An ex-comptroller heard female voices and laughter in the courtyard. I forgot to look up what comptroller meant.
What is a comptroller? What is a, apart from the comptroller in The Simpsons, I don't think it's a word I encounter.
I always thought it was people saying controller wrong.
That's what I assumed. It's not that. It's its own word. Mm. There's a stray P in there, which just doesn't sit right with me. Let's find out now. I'm going to look up what is a comptroller.
Well, it could be a royal household official who examines and supervises expenditures, or a public official.
Are you reading this, or have you just realised what it is?
Just remembering.
Oh, okay, all right.
Or a public official who audits government accounts and sometimes certifies expenditures, or a controller.
Oh, hold on a minute. According to HoustonTexas.gov, it is just a misspelling of controller.
HoustonTexas.gov?
Because if that's true, this is an outrage that we're still using the word comptroller.
Yeah, you're right. According to Merriam-Webster. Not Merriam-Webster.
According to Merriam-Webster.
Yeah, my mum's mate.
Get her on the pod. Merriam.
Merriam.
Just leaning over the fence. All right.
It says, did you know, if you think comptroller looks like a mistaken spelling of controller, you're partially right. In the 15th century, Middle English speakers altered the spelling of controleur from the French.
To make it controleur.
Whilst they were thinking about the word compte, account, and ended up with the word comptroller, it seems to say. I mean, I've definitely started paraphrasing and making up my own history there.
Unacceptable. Mm. Get the P out of comptroller now. Why did we have Brexit if we've still got this P in comptroller?
I have no idea.
What's the point? They're laughing at us, James.
Too right. To be honest, I thought we voted to take back control. I've done it again. It's insidious.
So a comptroller, or to put that another way, a controller.
Yeah, heard an ex one. Heard female voices and laughter in the courtyard.
Oh, that's the whole story.
Oh, and there have been reports of music coming from the old Vernon Chapel, which, again, I think that's the name of a place, not a guy called Vernon Chapel. Not my mum's friend, Vernon Chapel.
He was engaged to Merriam-Webster for a time, but...
They're friends on Facebook. Do you want to hear, in Jill's words, the most amazing experience that happened?
I'm ready to believe it's more amazing than the experiences described thus far.
Okay, so this happened about 20 years ago. This book was published in 2005, bang mid-80s. And one of the staff had just walked through the banqueting hall, started to climb the stairs to the long gallery when he stopped mid-stride. At the top of the stairs was a shape of a woman in dark Elizabethan dress. And I'm going to quote Jill here. Yet she was no living, breathing woman. This was a fully formed ghost. And as the member of staff stood, transfixed, she rolled a gobbet of phlegm round in her mouth and spat it on the floor.
What? That's not ladylike behaviour.
Jill assures us that that's a habit that we now find quite disgusting, but would have been acceptable in Elizabethan society.
Would it?
I did look it up and yes, that's true.
Oh, okay. Just generally spitting was fine.
A general Google and mostly just reading the small synopses has taught me some horrible things. Okay, blowing your nose was considered rude, but gobbing was fine. So blowing your nose was gross, but right. If you like hoiked it up and spat it on the floor, that was fine. I'm guessing everywhere was shoes on house, to be honest, because that is horrid. Also, this was very hard to verify because it made me feel sick to search it. One story is that people used to wash their face with their own spit because water was so grotty.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I do wonder if we exaggerate how filthy people were in the past. I just can't see people washing their face with their own spit.
I got this from a downloadable PDF for schools.
Oh, well, it's definitely true then.
So I don't know. And it was not well citated. I haven't watched that video that everyone's watching, and I'm just I'm afraid to.
Well, that's horrible. And he mid-stride as well. So I'm imagining him one-legged like a flamingo throughout this entire experience.
On the stairs, he took a couple of seconds to compose himself, then turned and ran. And again, quoting Jill, the experience had left him very shaken, and he retired shortly afterwards.
From his career?
He was gobbed into retirement, yeah.
He just quit.
And Jill goes on to say, on my many visits to Haddon Hall, I'm always drawn to the death mask of Lady Grace Manners in the small museum. So Lady Manners was the founder of the school in Bakewell and was the daughter-in-law of Dorothy Vernon. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
The lady that ran off with John Manners from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm quoting Jill directly. After psychometrizing, don't know how you say that word.
Press on.
After she did that, she felt that this was Lady Manners, who's often in visitation at the hall, and the most probable spitting spectre.
The spitting spectre. She should have had slightly better manners.
Yes, Alistair.
See what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I am seeing what you're saying, and I am agreeing with it.
Should have called her Lady Bad manners.
Or appropriate manners for the time, but this will not age well.
Yeah. Ooh.
I know you can't slander the dead. Hopefully establish that.
We've tried. Five series is in now.
But if you say that someone's ghost did something, that's a bit more slanderous.
Yes.
Because it sort of it's sort of like they're still doing it. It feels like it should be more, it's almost could be more actionable.
Yeah, but crucially though, by whom? I think it would have to be the ghost.
Any psychometrizers in the vicinity? We might want to chip in.
So is it that Jill who subjected herself to psychometry?
After psychometrizing, I feel that it is this Lady Manners who is often in visitation at the hall and the probable spitting spectre.
So this is some process that she has undergone to gain psychic knowledge?
Yes. Give me sight beyond sight kind of thing, like Lion-O, I guess.
Right, yeah. Or like really confident people on Twitter.
Do they psychometrize?
I don't know what they do, but you know the way there are always people who seem to know everything.
Yeah.
Or at least seem very confident. This is the podcasting version of vague booking. Oh, why are people so annoying? Naming no names.
Why do some Elizabethan ghosts think it's all right to gob on the floor in front of butlers? Yeah, so that's the story of the spitting ghost of Haddon Hall.
What a mild and then revolting story.
Yeah, it really turned, didn't it? So you ready to score me?
Yes, let's score Haddon Hall.
Yes. Okay then, category one, naming.
I thought they were really good.
Yeah.
I like Lady Manners, the ironically named Lady Manners.
And by extension, John Manners, presumably.
I liked Miriam Webster.
Mum's mate, yeah.
Vernon Chappell.
Mum's other mate.
What's the name of that actor? There's a good old actor's name in there.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Not the famous Geordie actor Samuel L. Jackson.
I'm Nick Furious. About these baddies.
I'm putting together a team.
Curtis Pounds.
Curtis Pounds.
C-O-U-R-T-I-C-E.
I feel like that's worth 2 or 3 points in itself.
Curtis Pounds. And it's not even that much of a pseudonym. I think his name was like Peter Curtis Pounds.
And he just dropped the Peter.
Just dropped the Peter. I'm Curtis Pounds. I'm coming at you.
Great choice, really. It would be a 2 or a 3, I think. But the presence of Curtis, quote, Peter Pounds.
It's Charles.
Charles Curtis Pounds.
Charles Curtis Pounds.
His presence in the story has elevated it to a 4.
Oh, nice one. Nice one, Charlie. Curtis.
Chaz.
Okay, then. Supernatural. Pretty darn ghostly.
You know me, James. You know I'm a skeptic.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to find this hard to ignore.
I could not ignore it.
Load of ghosts.
Tons of ghosts. Mm-hmm. A woman visibly hocking a loogie.
Yeah. A ghost loogie.
A gobbet of spit.
Yeah.
Now, is she transparent? Can we actually see the tongue moving before she... what a revolting prospect.
Yeah, that is horrible.
Only to then emit the spectral expectorant. Onto the...
The expectoplasm.
And
would that disappear along with the ghost? Or is it like the blood that you can't clean up? It's just some spit that you don't want to touch.
So I think it's... of first impressions, it's 5 out of 5. But after psychotraumatizing, I've just consulted the old psychotrometer. It's just a 1.
I didn't think that was back up and running. Thought it was still broken.
Yeah, well, I've just powered it up. There's a Van de Graaff generator. It's not doing anything. It's just decorative at the top. It's
just generating Van de Graaffs.
It's 1. 1 out of 5 for Supernatural.
Even for the cook that was either beating a real small boy or a ghost of a small boy.
No, if a ghost had beaten up a boy in the present day, then I wouldn't argue. But the lack of clarity, you know what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about poor documentation.
I thought it was well documented, albeit not encouraged. You wouldn't encourage a ghost to spit.
No, I'd put up a sign.
Yeah.
Like in the swimming baths.
Yes. No heavy gobbing. Or kitchen boy beating. Third one is mind your manners.
Very good. Yeah, she should have.
Should have.
That might have been something that the cook was saying to the kitchen boy.
That's a good point, actually. Yes.
As she laid to a birching. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's another case of mind your manners.
Yeah. I mean, the manners family.
Yeah.
Is the name of the woman. That's why, you know, they came in. Dorothy Vernon had a mind for some manners, and that was, she eloped and whatnot. I mean, I'm pulling it thin there. For all I know, that might mean what psychometrizing mean. It might be using mind over manners.
It started out strong.
Yeah.
But it ended feebly.
I should have put.
As a case.
Fair enough.
I think it's a 3.
Mm.
I'll give you a 3 for it. We've got Lady Manners. That's very good. She didn't have manners. That's very good. Someone else was called Manners.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm going to leave us on a thoughtful note, actually. My final category is the transitory duration of earthly stability.
Well, yeah.
Right.
There is that. Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I found David Bowie's voice very persuasive there. And earthly stability, when you really think about it, James, mm-hmm. like when you really think about it, it is transitory, isn't it?
It is. The transitory duration of earthly stability.
I mean, can you even put a number on the transitory duration of earthly stability?
Oh, you can have a go.
Yeah, probably one of the higher numbers, I would think.
Yeah, big time.
Probably easily 5.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say.
Definitely.
But James, when you think about it, like these numbers that we apply to tales, that's just like how the authorities want you to think in these straight lines, isn't it?
Yeah.
When actually,
maybe,
like, we're all brothers.
Yeah.
And probably some sisters as well.
Oh, good.
Probably some non-binary siblings. But yeah. The point is, it's 5.
Still 5, good.
It's still 5. It's still 5.
Ooh, I was worried there that you would get... That's locked down, yeah? That 5's locked down?
It's in the ledger, yes.
Okay, great. I was worried that you were going to apply the transitory duration of earthly stability to the number 5 and crumble it down to a 4 or 3, but no.
Oh, no!
Ooh, it was refurbished in the 1920s.
Lady Manners-style spit take, as I realised I could have done that. What? No! Yeah, I could have done that.
Phew.
But no, I wouldn't have done that. I psychotraumatized you out of 4 points, so...
Thank you very much.
I'm not going to pull the same scam twice.
Thank you. Lovely bit of poetry, though. Would you say that was poetry or just fruity prose?
It was prose, but it was flavoursome. Mm. Flavoursome prose.
Mm. Chewy.
Poetical.
Yeah.
A little bit of the old poesy, as they used to call poetry, before the invention of the tea.
Really? Is this one of them French words?
Yeah, poesy used to mean poetry.
Like a little flower?
Yeah, poesy. P-O-E-S-I-E. Poesy.
Oh, right.
You ever heard a Scottish person say poem?
No.
Poem?
No, they don't.
They do.
Even that famous one from New Year. What's he called? You know.
Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Robbie Burns. I'm sure he would have said poem.
Even Robbie Bums.
Even Robbie Bums would have said that, yeah.
Friend of the show, Robbie Bums, would have said poem.
Well, look, if any Scottish people are listening and disagreeing with me now, that it's just in the nature of the medium. I can't respond to that because I can't hear you. So there's no point saying anything.
Alistair, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's Christmas pig.
It's the piggiest season of the year.
Yes. How are you celebrating Christmas pig this year?
In the traditional way.
Yes.
With a live stream.
Yeah, me too. 21st of December, I'll meet you on YouTube. 8:30 p.m. GMT.
GMT.
All right, then. YouTube.com/lawmenpodcast. That's how you'll find it.
Christmas pig to you, Mr. Shakeshaft.
And Christmas pig to you too, sir. Bah humpig. If you subscribe to youtube.com/lawmenpodcast and there's like a click the thing that means you get alerts, and then you'll be kept abreast of Christmas piggery. So there it was. Was it spoiled by me mentioning the spitting, or spoiled by having lots of spitting?
Well, the listener now will never get to experience the horror and surprise I experienced when I heard the story without knowing she was going to spit everywhere.
Well, maybe some people skip the beginning thinking it's an elaborate advert.
Yeah, maybe some people skip the beginning because it's just weird rambling.
I'm going to pop a record scratch in here.
Yeah, you drop a scratch, James. A pork scratching.
Well, it was a bit of a short episode this week, and as mentioned, that's because we're gearing up for the Xmas Pig event.
A pigtacular.
It's Borsine extraordinary. I couldn't think of any decent.
Swinerific.
It's going to be pig good.
Hognormous. I don't think one of these works.
No, me neither. You're going to have a fantastoink time. Join us on the 21st of December.
Spooktacular. That's better. Sorry. Carry on. What was
that?
No,
that is good, actually.
Spooktacular.
I'm going to cut it out.
But it sounds like it's about sporks rather than pork. That's the porktacular. Maybe it just works on its own.
Yeah.
Hamtastic.
Oh, yes. Brilliant.
I knew we'd come to something good.
Something pig good.
Yeah, something hognormous.
So join us on the 21st of December at 8:30 p.m. GMT.
Gumped. In the year 2023.
2023 on youtube.com/lawmenpodcast. Best to subscribe and...
Yeah, probably best, yeah.
I think there's still a button that says alert me to things.
Yeah, slam that bell.
Oh, you are a YouTuber, aren't you?
Punch subscribe.
Fill out the form that allows you to hit the like button.
Yeah.
And join us for an Xmas Pig good event 2023. I don't want to get back into that again.
2023.
And now on record scratch.
That's just the end. Finish the music now.
Yeah.
So this has really been two guys remembering things. This has really been our spin-off podcast. Two guys vaguely, not really remembering things.